www.mlb.org.
What you're trying to do is say you should stay living in fear for an insurance company to boot you off your insurance because of the possibility of you getting sick again. It's unconscionable. It's unacceptable.
All right, that's Debbie Wasserman Schultz, congresswoman from Florida, who says if you want to defund Obamacare, be careful, because look what the insurance companies can do to you, and that's what you're really saying. If you think that's what should happen, you're not paying attention to the Affordable Health Care Law. Do you agree? Where are you at when it comes to your health care? What are your premiums? How's it looking for you down the road at this point? I'm going to throw out the numbers at the top, and here we are at the beginning of a new week. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you on America Tonight. Hope you had a good one. Maybe your team won this weekend, so you're feeling pretty good. Or you had a chance to chill and go catch a movie or just hang out and relax with the people who are close to you. Always a good thing, isn't it? 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. So the game of chicken has gotten faster, hotter, and wilder. This has been going on since 2009. So if you just woke up to this, you haven't been paying attention, because every year we go through this. Especially the last 2 years, it comes down to the waning moments. But now you got the affordable health care tagged into the middle of this. If Washington can't reach a deal, a government shutdown starts at 12:01 a.m. on Tuesday. The temporary budget solution goes back to the Senate because the House moved on it. They passed a spending plan with two anti-Obamacare amendments. They pushed through a bill to guarantee military pay, by the way, if the shutdown happens, that's a good thing. And they don't plan to meet until late on Monday. The Senate doesn't plan to meet until late on Monday. And that's the only time they're going to have to try to avoid this shutdown. The White House is saying the president's going to veto the amended House plan, so forget about that. So it is looking like we might see a shutdown. Senate says they're not going to agree to this. They're not going to push Obamacare, the individual health mandate, for a year. They're not going to do it. So the plan avoids taking a separate vote to reinstate the tax on medical devices that is repealed in the House bill. The medical devices tax is a target of the Republicans because some of the Democrats don't support it. Either 3 years after the health care line, the law rather, has been signed in. So at this point, we're in limbo, as far as the budget's concerned anyway. And will the House consider even a scenario where they pass a funding bill without any provisions regarding Obamacare with votes from House Democrats? It's really not looking that way. The next bill, they say, will address Obamacare in some way. In some way, there's no way to completely exit out. So with the games that keep on playing, there's a couple of things here. Do you think the Republicans are wrong to pursue this course? Not because you think it's wrong to get rid of the Affordable Health Care Act to defund it, but because you think the timing and doing it where you shut down the government isn't going to work anyway, and it's going to make the Republicans look bad. So the clock is running down. We are running out the clock. If the president wants a shutdown, does it go on him? Is he going to be blamed for this? Is the Senate going to be blamed for it? And the Senate, of course, wasn't in town on Sunday, so that makes that easy. You heard Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz, who insists that the Republicans stop linking the continued funding of the government or raising the debt ceiling to repealing, delaying, or doing anything to Obamacare. And she says, and she was on one of the Sunday shows on CNN, she says she hopes cooler heads prevail on the Republican side of the aisle. She says it's irresponsible. It's a terrible strategy. And when she was on the CNN show, I happened to see it, a part of that, she said, if you didn't like the redesign of your kitchen, would you burn the house down? Or would you try to make modifications to the kitchen? Therein lies what was the Affordable Health Care Act all along. People were complaining that it's too big, nobody's reading it, which was true. Nobody read the whole thing through. So it gets pushed and pushed and gets the votes it needs, and that's it. But I think the idea was get it through, and then we'll pick apart the parts that we don't like. So people can complain, but it's not about that. It's about we'll pick it apart as we move along. What she said is that, there you go. That's exactly it. By the way, one of the things in the bill included military pay not being affected by a shutdown, which is good, because that shouldn't happen. And they would get massively criticized if it did happen. How can you tell people who are fighting, who are serving in horrid conditions, oh, sorry, you're not getting paid. Sorry, your wife can't pick up your check to go pay the mortgage. No, it's not. That doesn't work. You got some moderate Republicans like John McCain from Arizona who are criticizing the whole strategy of tying a government shutdown to undermining the health care reform law that was passed in 2010. And then you have the more conservative side of the Republican Party who just say, stop Obamacare now. You've got the individual health care exchanges beginning. The new fiscal year starting on Tuesday. Let's shut this puppy down at this point. To me, the bigger crisis looms. It sounds funny to say that because the government could shut down. But the fact that the debt ceiling, nothing's happened there. This is a few weeks before a disastrous fiscal deadline. We have to raise the debt ceiling so the government can pay its bills, because if we don't, we default, and then we are a cash-only nation. Wouldn't work out too well. Treasury Secretary is sweating it out, beads of sweat dropping down his brow, probably as I'm speaking right now, Jack Lew. The limit on how much the government can borrow has to be increased by the 17th, has to. What's the economic impact from whether or not we can meet our debt obligations? That's bigger. Remember, there was the downgrading of the U.S. credit rating the last time around. So to me, the debt ceiling is the do-or-die one. If we don't see a budget pass and we get hung up on Obamacare, we're really going to get hung up on the debt ceiling, and that has disaster stamped all over it. That's where there is no way you can lay in the weeds on this. $17 trillion in debt, $125 trillion in unfunded liabilities. When are we ever going to get serious about fixing our problem? Our spending habits are out of control. Whew. Our taxes pay interest on our debt. That's the big problem. Hang with us on the flip side. What happened over the weekend that you might have missed? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's official. It's time to talk Olympics. At least the first torch runner has made the move. They raised the Olympic flame in front of the priestess during the ceremony in ancient Olympia that happened on Sunday. The ceremony was held with actresses dressed as priestess, and they really enact this Greek games kind of thing. And ultimately, the flame was lit and passed and moved along from a Greek alpine skier to an NHL Russian star, Alex Ovechkin, who was the first Russian involved in the torch relay. And then, it goes down the line. It's handed off, and the newly elected Olympic Committee Prez, Thomas Bach, was at the ceremony. He had talked about controversy with game organizers about Russia's record of the treatment of gays and had gotten assurances of non-discrimination at the games, that policy and whatnot. So this whole ceremony with 21 priestesses dressed in the pleated dresses, and that's part of the build-up to the games already. This is officially the start. 20 minutes, that's all it takes. 20 minutes. And the relay will cover 40,000 miles before the Winter Games. And they'll carry the torch by hot air balloon, dog sled, a nuclear-powered icebreaker before its trip to space, because it's going to go up in space, on November 7th. How wild is that? Sochi is where the games are going to be held in 2014. I think it's pretty cool that it's going up into space. And you're going to have 2,800 athletes from 80 countries who will compete. And you know, on and on. The stories abound when it comes to the Olympics. So this is just the very first step in a whole process, because all those miles have to be covered before the Olympics actually start. You know, and there's something about the Olympics. There are a lot of winter sports I can get into. The ice hockey is one of them, and some of the skiing and whatnot, too. That was part of what happened over the weekend that you might have, you know, you might have missed that. There are a few other things, too, of significance that, that happened. And one of them, unfortunately, one of the things that, happened was some of the funerals going on from the Naval Yard shooting. You had the security guard, Richard Ridgdill, who was a father and a, they say was a protector of the Navy Yard. He died while he was in the lobby trying to keep a shotgun-wielding man from leaving the building, and he tried to do his job. So his funeral was one of the last two memorial services for the 12 people gunned down on September 16th. So his funeral was over the weekend. It's very sad to see the families, the widows and kids. You know, you see grandkids and others. And this guy was 52 years old. So that's pretty sad. He was a Maryland state trooper for 17 years. Then he went into private security, and he was in building 197, and people said he was cheerful and friendly and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you know, these are the familiar things we're starting to hear at all these funerals, and funerals that people thought they'd never be having until Aaron Alexis shot those people on the third and fourth floors of that building in the Navy Yard, then went downstairs and whatnot. And Alexis used Ridgel's gun to shoot other people before he was killed by a park police officer. And, you know, obviously he made the ultimate sacrifice, his life, in trying to save as many people as he, you know, as he could. And then there was Sylvia Frazier's memorial service. And this is somebody who had worked in technology since 2000, had a master's degree in information systems, and certainly was not, her family is not expecting her life to be cut short the way it was when, you know, when all of a sudden there's somebody with a shotgun aiming the shotgun at people in that building who were just completely taken aback, off guard, all those things that you can imagine, or maybe you can't imagine, and hopefully you never will be in that position. But just an awful, awful thing. The other thing is that happened over the weekend, the remaining funeral, besides the government debate of the looming shutdown, with the House saying you have to defund Obamacare or we're not going to play, and the Olympic flame being tossed on, lit, and now the big journey of the 40,000 miles before the games open in Russia. It was an end to a very popular series this weekend. Some of you might be fans of Breaking Bad, and the finale was held on Sunday night. I can imagine how big those ratings will be for the series that Walter White became an iconic character, played by Bryan Cranston. And, he, you know, the whole idea was he was a teacher who turned to a meth salesman, or I shouldn't say salesman. He was the guy who would make this incredible meth, and then it would be sold. It sounds kind of crazy. If you go and rent some of the earlier seasons, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and I think you'll get a chuckle or two out of it, and I guarantee they got some ratings out of this final episode. I cannot imagine that that they wouldn't have gotten that. You know, we said if the government shut down, one of the things that would happen is if you were getting a gun permit, it would be a little trickier because it would slow down depending on how long the government shutdown lasted. But starting Tuesday, a new law takes effect in Maryland with some of the provisions of the law aimed at helping keep guns away from criminals and the mentally ill and banning some assault weapons. People in Maryland who have been buying guns in record numbers, and that's what they're doing before the law kicks in, they're getting them. What's happening is the law, in this new law, the state won't allow that to happen because they're banning some of the assault weapons, and the licensing provisions are much, much tougher than in some areas. One of the provisions will require people who buy a handgun to be fingerprinted to own a handgun. Maryland is the sixth state to do that, so not the only state. The other states who do that, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. The people who oppose the measure in the first place say it might not be that effective. Might not be that effective because when you do these fingerprints for a gun, they say that they do these digital fingerprints, but they can't always be recognized correctly. So it seems as though there might be other ways to get guns, I guess was her point. So they're still going to get the guns. But the law also limits gun mags to 10 bullets. So that's a big deal. There is some opponents there are suing in federal court in Baltimore trying to block the legislation from taking effect. That's a hearing for Tuesday on the motion for an order that would temporarily block implementing the law while the court considers whether to permanently bar Maryland from enforcing it. Might be tough to have that happen. There have been plenty of opponents, but there have been proponents as well. And they say the idea is so the criminals can't buy guns and come back in, that it's more about the criminals than probably anything else. But because the law was proposed, there were a lot of people that ran out and got some guns as fast as they possibly could. I always say on this show it's about the numbers, and no doubt you can trace anything and track anything to numbers, not just money numbers, but other numbers as well. And we certainly have a lot of numbers to share with you. Coming up in the next version of We Can Count, we'll tell you about a couple of things, including the epidemic of gun violence in Chicago that we've been following, and a couple of other crime sprees that have netted some pretty big convictions. That's next on America Tonight.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at HempUSA.org.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Money-wise, when it comes to Detroit, coming out of Washington on Friday, they say they are sending someone to Detroit to oversee a federal effort that includes millions of dollars in grants to help fix that city. $300 million in federal and private funds. They still believe in Detroit is well short of a wider bailout that they were seeking in the neighborhood of $18 billion. They're not getting any $18 billion. So, you know, you got like $100 million of federal money that's augmented with $200 million more in resources from businesses and foundations and all that stuff. Because remember, Detroit this summer became the biggest U.S. city to file for bankruptcy protection. And the feds recognized that the prospect of legislation to bail out the city was extremely low. So they're trying to get money to the people of Detroit. I mean, can Detroit really ever bounce back? I mean, yeah, I guess they can, but will Detroit ever bounce back? People are leaving in record numbers. So many boarded up places there. It's crazy. It's certainly a far cry from the Detroit of the 50s. No doubt about that. This shook certainly a lot of people up in the area who saw it. A small plane that took off from Idaho crashed into a hangar at Santa Monica Municipal Airport, causing it to that structure to collapse in flames around it. And what happened is it ran off the runway and into the hangar, and that the firefighters were desperately trying to put it out. And it, the crash was unsurvivable, they say. It was a twin-engine Cessna, and it went off the right side of the runway at about 6:30 in the evening and hit that hangar. So there was two other buildings that were hit, and it destroyed the hangar completely. But the news is the people that that there were people that were killed in this. And the plane is registered to a Malibu address, and the corporate owner is Creative Real Estate Exchange, they say, which is based in Birmingham, Alabama. So they don't really know who it was. But the airport in Haley is a big destination for lots of celebrities and lots of rich and pretty powerful people. So people are speculating as to who that could, who the people could be, but they did not survive the crash. That's for certain because of the fire that immediately ensued and, you know, set everything up, just ignited it. It was like pouring gasoline all over the place. Speaking of gasoline and cars, over 500 Chery, or vintage as some people would say, Chevys, were up for auction in Nebraska. And then I saw some of the cars. I don't know if I would call them vintage, like, I guess age-wise. So a lot of people from around the world actually came to Nebraska to possibly get one of the cars, car buffs. And there were actually about 50 of them that had 50 of the cars that had fewer than 20 miles on the odometer. And the bidding started around 11:30 on Saturday. 10,000 people were expected to come to the event. So it was a big deal that they were auctioning off these cars. And the collection belonged to Ray Lambrecht and his wife, who ran the Lambrecht Chevy dealer from 1946 until they retired in 1996, and he rarely sold cars or pickups that were more than a year old. So he stashed them at his farm and other places. And Pierce, Nebraska, is where the auction was held, and people just descended on it like vultures. They were circling, trying to get in there and get as close to the action as they possibly could. And it certainly paid off for some people because they got some of the vintage automobiles that were out there in that collection. And the fact that some of them didn't have very many miles on them certainly didn't hurt, I don't believe, anyway. I love these stories of separation and then being united. There was a Navy brother and sis that found their way back to each other after 30 years. They were separated when they were kids 30 years ago, but Commander Cindy Murray and Navy Chief Aviation Ordnance Man Robert Williamson were reunited in San Diego. There was just kind of a quick salute and a long hug, and that closed the gap for them after 30 years. Williamson said, "Never in a million years did I think I'd be standing here in this situation. The brother and sister, here's what happened. Were separated in the late 70s when Williamson was only six. They had different mothers. And the dad went a different way from the one mother, and they just lost touch. They were originally from Denver." And what's interesting is Murray said she looked on Facebook. There are a million Robert Williamsons, and she wouldn't have known what he looked like. Finally, she contacted her father, who told her he was also in the Navy. Isn't that crazy? Had to be such a surprise for him. And you would think in that case, since it seemed pretty friendly, that they may strike up a little bit of a bond there. So that may be our most important number, 30. That is a very long, long time. How about a four-year-old boy who is saved by a guide dog? An Atlanta guide dog traded his life to save a four-year-old. Simon, an 80-pound boxer, pushed the little boy out of an oncoming car that was bound to hit him after the car ran a stop sign while the boy was trying to cross the street with his father. Simon was instead hit and later died from the injuries. And people say that Simon either got up and jumped out and pushed the son out of the path, or it was just total loyalty and courage. I love that story. Witnesses say the car definitely would have killed the boy. And the boy was visually impaired, so Dave Furuka walked his son Will to school with the help of Simon for the last 4 years. So that, in one way, that has to be bittersweet. They rushed him to an emergency clinic, but he died along the way. And the Atlanta police cited somebody for running a stop sign and not yielding to the people in the crosswalk. So they'll replace the dog, but, ooh, that has to be rough, too. But how cool is that, that the dog did what the dog's supposed to do as a guide dog, really saved the four-year-old boy's life? I think that's the big story here. That's incredible. Incredible that he sensed that, did something about it, and stopped basically a car from running over the kid. Because it seems as though that's the direction that he was headed in. A cheerleader gets a $140 ticket for performing on the street. Boo! Is that fair or foul? Here's how the story goes, at least the way I heard it told. A Canadian cheerleading squad has been labeled as a nuisance by the police, who slapped the group with a fine for performing on the side of the road while heading to their school's homecoming football game. Western University Mustangs coach David Lee Tracy told the Toronto Star that the school's cheerleading team stopped on a street in London, Ontario on Saturday ahead of the game against Queen University to perform a cheer for students wearing Western's purple colors. So three male cheerleaders began throwing a female teammate into the air before a police officer interrupted, handing the head cheerleader a ticket. Ooh, $140 for cheering. Seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? I wonder what that was about. Live and let live. It's homecoming, for goodness sake. Are you kidding me? How do you give somebody a ticket on their homecoming? Doesn't seem fair. Does that seem fair to anybody else? I don't think so. I think there's a better thing they could have done. Much better. All right, quickly, a recent report has found that it costs almost as much to jail an inmate in New York City a year as it does to pay for 4 years at an Ivy League university. Oh, say it isn't so. Yes, the Independent Budget Office found it costs $167,731 in 2012 to house each of the 12,000-plus New York City inmates. That's about $460 per inmate per day. Experts say certain expensive fixed costs in New York's system keep the money, the figure, high despite a large drop in incarceration that peaked in 91 with about 22,000 inmates. Well, part of that is also hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent to run Rikers Island, the island that's next to the runways of LaGuardia. They have 10 jail areas there, 10 big jail areas. All right, stay with us. Big finish coming up on the flip side.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Celebrate National Preparedness Month with BePrepared.com. This Preptember, get 31% off our new Supreme Pizza Combo. All the food storage ingredients you need for delicious homemade pizzas. Now or years from now. Regularly $143.85, now just $99.99. Also save 30% on Provident Pantry Scrambled Egg Mix. On sale for $21.99 this month only. For Preptember deals, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863. Or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Obamacare.
I'm awake.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
No. All right, so the week was pretty wild, wasn't it? We had Ted Cruz, almost 24 hours, Ted Cruz, on his feet, not even taking a bathroom break, to make the point that, okay, we've got to demand that we defund Obamacare. The Senate Democrats decided on Sunday not to take up the measure approved in the morning hours by the Republican-controlled House of Representatives that ties funding for the government agencies to a one-year delay of Obama's landmark health care law. So this comes down to the nitty-gritty. It's where the rubber meets the road. Is it more of this chess match, or does something change that we don't know about that ultimately will solve the crisis of the possibility of the government being shut down? As we take our final lap here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, that's what we're talking about. Congress was closed for the day after the post-midnight vote in the House. This was, you know, Saturday into Sunday. to delay by a year key parts of the new health care law and repeal a tax on medical devices in exchange for avoiding a shutdown. So the Senate doesn't convene until Monday afternoon. That's hours before the shutdown deadline. And the majority leader, Harry Reid, has already promised that majority Democrats will kill the House's latest volley. Since the last government shutdown happened how many years ago? We've talked about it so many times. 17 years ago, temporary funding bills known as continuing resolutions have been pretty much non-controversial. Neither party is going to chance shutting down to get to a legislative moment they would otherwise win. But with the health insurance exchanges set to open on Tuesday, the Tea Party Republicans are willing to take the risks in their drive to kill the health care law. So really on Sunday, we saw more of the Sunday swirl, the talk show blame game kind of stuff, and the Democrats and the Republicans on the opposite side of this. Ted Cruz, the Republican from Texas, the senator, who had, as I mentioned, the talkathon, saying that we'll allow temporary funding of the bill to advance if stripped clean of a couple of things, is what Harry Reid is saying. And Ted Cruz is saying, no way. You have to defund Obamacare. So there could be a partial shutdown. A partial shutdown on ultimately what would be Tuesday. What does that mean? That means if you live in Washington, D.C., don't expect anyone to pick up your trash. The military, they're saying, still fund the military, so the military would theoretically still get their checks if it falls in between, which it's looking that way. So there wouldn't be a problem with that. And Bill Clinton says the Republicans are spiteful and that the Democrats should call the bluff of the Republicans. It just seems to me that this law is still misunderstood, being held together with clothespins. There's no real great explanation for what we can expect with the affordable health care law. So, how do we avoid a shutdown? How do we avoid a shutdown and then let Obamacare roll out in a different direction for another year, not implement it for another year? And I don't see the Democrats budging on this. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky said on Sunday the best chance to avoid a government shutdown was for the president to step back and let the House and Senate appoint a conference committee to hash out the differences. He's already amended his signature health care law, they say, more than a dozen times, and granted exceptions, allowing some interests in Congress to opt out of the program. Will you be affected by the affordable health care plan or no? Everything is the same in your world. Because there are some people where it's the same. Nothing is changing. So they're not getting higher premiums and they're not having high deductibles, and that's good news. I mean, the best news is that you just take the best care of yourself that you can. Because if you don't, who will? You know, there becomes the big question. Who will? And if you're looking for the government to help you, ooh, that can be shaky. And I think with the ages of the baby boomers, et cetera, that's going to be very, very tricky. That's why affordable health care is interesting at this point. I think the Republicans should let it just play out, and the holes that get blown in it will be to their advantage. Well, some 46 million Americans are now in poverty. These are new numbers. It's the highest number ever. Ever. 46 million plus. It's a crazy number. And the median income of Americans dropped by $2,627 during Obama's first term. And the number of people in poverty rose. The increase when Obama took over, 16.7 73% overall. 15% of Americans are considered to be living in poverty. Oh, depressing numbers. But that's up from 13.2% in 2008. Oof. And they get uglier as you move along. The figures are way bigger for blacks and Hispanics. 27% of blacks and 25.6% of Hispanics are living in poverty. The rate for non-Hispanic whites is 9.7%. 9.7%. So what does that tell us? There's some obvious things we can see from that. It sounds as though taxes and regulations with small businesses, that may be the biggest problem that people are having, understanding that there's significant, because there's significant contributors to small businesses, there's a big reluctance to hire workers, which is keeping unemployment high. But the government has been a big part of what's happened here. Taxes, increased regulation, discouraging investment. And the average top marginal rate, in other words, the tax rate, including federal and state income taxes and payroll taxes, you know what it's at? 48%. And in some states, like California, it exceeds 50%. That's incredible. 50%. Ugh, even a smaller number, even if it's a magical number, it seems better than that. 50 seems devastating. Absolutely devastating. All right, there's a big call to finish things off from the president and the new president of Iran late in the day on Friday, heading into the weekend. And Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister for Israel, is taking an unpopular message to the White House, to say the least, and the United Nations this week, saying don't be fooled by Tehran's new leadership. Netanyahu says Iran is using a conciliatory approach, but Netanyahu is a little bit skeptical about it, let's say. Let's put it that way, that maybe they're fooling and they're talking out of both sides of their mouths, and the United States is lapping it all up. But it's only to ease international sanctions and buy time. Boy, time seems to be the theme of this version of America Tonight, running out of time to pass a funding bill and avert a government shutdown or go in the opposite direction. By the time we meet again, that riddle should be solved. Thanks to Matt Johnson for his fine work on the technicals and all of you for listening to this version, anyway, of America Tonight.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.